To continue this essay in real time, the recurrence of the World Economic Forum in Davos this week, now January 2023, permits us to consider such gatherings in terms of our topic focus. Some of the more openly conservative press, such as The Times and The Daily Mail, have already been featuring the fact that at least 100 expensive prostitutes have just arrived in Davos. The Australian, now American-based conservative journalist Miranda Devine tweeted, "Coles to Newcastle." Accompanying the influx of prostitutes, of course, there would also be an inrush of cocaine, which can be consumed with or without their additional services. One of the prostitutes, Salome Bolchu, commented that her clients are business people rather than politicians. "You have to choose between a drug, sex, or political power. The latter is stronger, it doesn't leave room for other interests and eats up people completely." She does not mention that the substitution can still involve the other drug, cocaine, or that several of those career politicians formerly or currently attending are semi-open cocaine users, sometimes with characteristic side-of-the-nose presses in their speeches. And whilst she is no doubt correct about the business people, it is also known among these sex workers that indicating the identity of any political clients is legally and perhaps physically a very dangerous thing. On our subject of media and publishers, however, included in the 10 companies most represented at Davos are CNBC, Google, Stanford University, and the Wall Street Journal, although, of course, senior editors from many other outlets and publications are also attending, including Andy Jassy from Amazon. Among the featured politicians are Tony Blair, Donald Trump's son-in-law, John Kerry and the mayor of Kiev, and a conspicuous attendee is Gautam Adani, chairman of India's Adani Group, the world's third richest person on Forbes' list, and the owner of Queensland's controversial Adani Mine. The scene-setting PR photo is of one of the opening speakers, Elena Zelenska, the Ukrainian First Lady, with President of Switzerland, Alain Berset, President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, and the founder of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab. Even more than the latest Frankfurt Book Fair, the latest Davos is a propaganda platform for NATO's war against Russia, as well as prostitution's general entertainment and relaxation function. Public relations exercises often involve prostitution as a valuable tool and lubricant. One of Davos's main functions, of course, has always been as a public relations exercise, initially for the concept of ongoing economic growth. I would like here to reference an interesting book on Davos, published by the Swiss Lars Müller Publishers, who specialise in books on modern design and art. Davos is a Verb, 2021, by Yul Spinach, compiles the celebrated photographer Spinach's photographs of Davos, where he was born, contrasting the reality with the facade and the alpine context. Reinforcing the surreally atmospheric photos is an on-site essay by Tim Jackson, which at that period of time focuses on the case against economic growth and references income equality, the onset of COVID, and Greta Thunberg's protests there on global warming. He gives a particularly poignant account of being woken by a wolf howling hauntingly in the mountains. I would have liked more analysis of Thunberg being perhaps a capitalist-backed part of the facade, even if at first unwitting, and at last maybe, like the older Malala, genuinely and awarely anti-capitalist, hence her current less sympathetic press. But there is no doubt that the essay and the photographs invite a valuable discussion. Their key fact is that the town of Davos is remade and redesigned temporarily for a short period each annual Davos Forum, with ephemeral structures and facades, after which it returns to its normal appearance as the highest town in Europe, literally as well as one assumes figuratively while the forum is on, and in a simpler and more idyllic alpine atmosphere. In contrast, the photographed structures and facades have a fin de siècle Weimar Republic quality. I was reminded of the mood of Max Beckmann. and show one-dimensional commercial backgrounds decorated with slogans about the need for leadership in changing times, or occasional sensual symbols such as the large, round, gilded lint bunny and the rejuvenating evening snow. Most of the diurnal snow is seen raked up in dirty piles and corners, except for some unofficial visitors and protesters with clown noses. The human beings are usually men in dark business suits engaged intently in some dialogue or other. It is interesting that many of the visiting prostitutes said that they wore business suits when working at Davos, not as protection, prostitution is legal in Switzerland, but to make their clients feel at ease. Of course, there may be another form of protection, apart from that of their own employing firms, involved, as power dressing can be a defence against sexual abuse and denigration, which reportedly is also common at the Davos Forum. Women dislike walking alone there. One of Spinach's most sensual photographs shows a lovely young woman DJ with blonde hair in rivulets and a stylish, tight, ornate metallic dress, smiling self-consciously as her long fingers operate turntable buttons. That half of the photo tinged in green light, but the half before it golden lit with a pool, a waterfall and trees. This is a simple contrast between nature and artifice, but the first photo scene is also landscaped and there is emerging suggestion of facade and deliberation. One revealing Spinach photograph shows the pro-economic growth Ukraine house in Davos, which had already been there for a few years following the Maidan coup, already even in 2020, with a huge military vehicle and men in military jungle green outside it, while someone in a ski jacket in front of it uses a prefab ATM, and a couple of unfazed civic officials in fluoro-yellow garb look on. There is every kind of uniform in Davos. If I were being speculative about uniforms, I could suggest that they confer temporal limits on the wearer, rather like the ephemeral trappings of temporary forum Davos, conferring power but also belief that the role can be escaped by simply shedding the uniform itself. This leads us back to the SM element in Ukraine propaganda discussed earlier, as the audience to which it is designed to appeal is one that recognises fascist symbols as part of pornographic discourse. They were considered innocuous enough to be used in photo shoots in 1960s Playboy, even though Playboy looked askance at Tynan's essay on underwear, and also recognises that discourse as a bonding device between social or political forces. One in the news example is that there has for decades been a European immigrant fascist faction, some of whom actually were unreconstructed members of the Nazi Party, in the New South Wales Liberal Party. Many of the symbols might surface at ostensibly innocent private social events. Some young man wearing a black SS uniform at a birthday party, for example, might believe the donning of it to be a temporary, even comic role play, but the power figures he knew were sympathetic to it are not benign masters and might in some unsafe future use it against him. In relevance to our often observed peculiarity that powerful intelligence agencies are particularly disloyal to their assets, and that the assets oddly rarely seem to expect this, I would argue that those new articles about debauchery at Davos in some conservative press signal the inevitable abandonment of the Davos project and a possible disowning of the concept of economic growth. Davos itself has already issued a report predicting increasing economic downturn. Of their attendees, Microsoft has just cut 10,000 jobs worldwide, and Amazon plans to cut 18,000. And of the Davos project in general, one might expect that many powerful structures and information and publishing outlets might find that the daytime uniforms they thought ephemeral might return to haunt them, like the howling of a wolf, like 100 Ladies of the Night.